coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of studies on the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. The second coming of Christ at the end of times is one of the main themes in the letters the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. In the first letter, Paul gave some clear instructions about the subject. However, there continued to be confusion and misunderstanding among the Christians of Thessalonica concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, Paul returns to the matter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verses 1 and 2, we read the following. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word, or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. When Paul worked in Thessalonica, he instructed the believers that one day the Lord will return, all the dead will be raised, and all will be gathered in his presence. Later, however, the Thessalonians became shaken and alarmed. They lacked stability in the truth and felt disturbed. Why? Apparently because some false prophets spread deceiving messages, or because of a misunderstanding of what Paul had written in the first letter that led to doctrinal error. Rumors were spread that the day of the Lord has already come. That obviously was a deception. The day of the Lord has not come. It has not come till this day. God did not reveal when it will come. We are taught in Scripture that the day of the Lord is at hand, that it will come as a surprise, and therefore we shall always be vigilant and prepared. In writing to the Thessalonians, Paul was fighting the idea that the final days had begun and their completion would be imminent. Paul strongly warns the Thessalonians to beware of false teachings. He clarifies the subject of Christ's return. He writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Let no one deceive you in any way. When different and contradictory statements are made about a certain matter, people can easily be deceived, including us. Then it is hard to distinguish the truth from falsehood, and this can be very dangerous in the spiritual realm. For this reason, the Apostle Paul tries to open the eyes and the minds of the Thessalonians. He says that the day of the Lord has not come yet, because that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. What does the apostle mean by the rebellion? The meaning of rebellion here is apostasy, the abandonment of the faith. Jesus predicted that there will be a falling away from the faith before his return. But here Paul is talking about active rebellion, the supreme opposition of evil to the things of God. Betrayal, falsehood, hatred, and lawlessness by misled Christians are marks of this rebellion against God and His truth. Are we living in these days? Perhaps. Paul also states that before the Lord returns, the man of lawlessness will be revealed, the son of destruction. Who is this character? No name is indicated, and we shall be careful not to personalize any man or try to figure out who this character is. All we know is that the man of lawlessness is the incarnation of evil, and he comes as the completion of the rebellion. Elsewhere in Scripture, this incarnation of evil is called the Antichrist, or the Beast. The Apostle John tells us of many Antichrists. So the man of lawlessness may be the worst of them. He is not Satan, because he is clearly distinguished from Satan. He seems to be an agent of Satan. Martin Luther says that the man of lawlessness not only is a sinner in his own right, but through false doctrine he causes others to sin with him. This character is destined to destruction, says the apostle. He spreads destruction and will ultimately be destroyed himself. He embodies the great rebellion against God. He is satanic, perhaps even Satan possessing a person. He has not yet come, but the powers that he embodies are already active. Further description of the man of lawlessness indicates what he will do. He opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. We notice that this character is not merely a political or military man, but claims a place above every god and everything associated with worship. He even claims to be God. As we said before, it would be daring speculation and dangerous trying to identify a certain person in world history or in the future with the man of lawlessness. We shall be satisfied with what Scripture allows us to know and not trying to go any further. Paul continues to write in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. Paul tries to refresh the memory of the Thessalonians, saying that he gave them instructions about these things times earlier when he worked in Thessalonica. Apparently, they either had forgotten or misunderstood the lesson. The same can happen today with us. So Paul repeats the lesson and clarifies additional aspects. He says that there is something or someone who at the moment is restraining the rebellion of the man of lawlessness. There have been made many suggestions as to identify who or what this restraining force might be. However, we simply don't know. What we do know is that God, then and now and always, is working things according to His will, His time, and His plan of salvation. Although the man of lawlessness is being held back, Paul was certain that the mystery of lawlessness was already at work. This is certainly also true in our days. But the end of the man of lawlessness will certainly come. One day, only the Lord knows the man of lawlessness will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth, and will bring him to nothing by the splendor of his coming. This will take place with Christ's second coming. In the continuation of his writing, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Here we are told about some of the evil things the man of lawlessness will do. As an agent of Satan, he embodies and fully represents the evil that Satan is. His work will be noticed in the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and in all wicked deception for those who are perishing. Jesus performed mighty works, wonders, and signs while he was on earth. Now the man of lawlessness will do similar things, but they are false. Jesus prophesied about this work of the devil. These evil and misleading wonders aim to draw people into falsehood. The action of the man of lawlessness will concentrate on those who are perishing. Who are they? Those who are perishing are the people who had opportunity to hear God's word, to believe in Jesus Christ and to be saved, but they refused God's grace and love. God gives the wicked and those who persist in unbelief over to the evil they themselves have chosen. If they persist in error, he gives them finally to the evil's destructive end, that is, condemnation. This is a strong warning that also needs to be considered by us. God is patient, compassionate, and gracious. He offers us time and opportunity to hear his word, to repent of our sins and to believe in Jesus Christ. We shall not miss God's time, but make the most of it, so that when our end comes, we stand in the true faith and will be embraced in Jesus' arms for life eternal. Paul makes some final notes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Believers have so many reasons to give thanks to God, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Believers are brothers beloved by the Lord. They share in the same blessings. They give thanks to God for what he is and for what he has done for them. Paul gives thanks to God, for he chose the Thessalonians to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. God elected from eternity his people for salvation. When they heard or read the gospel, the Holy Spirit called them to faith, faith in the Savior Jesus Christ, faith by which they are saved and will be ushered into the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We who believe need to be reassured time and again that God in his grace has elected us to salvation. We need to be assured constantly that God has called us to faith and that he has prepared a place for us in his eternal glory. For such rich and overwhelming blessings, we can only say, "Thank you, Lord." Now, in order to achieve eternal glory in heaven, it is necessary to stand firm in the faith and hold to the teaching of the gospel till the end. That is what Paul reminds the Thessalonians and recommends to them. That is also what concerns us. Jesus himself says, "The one who endures to the end will be saved." The closing words of this study couldn't be more appropriate than the ones the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. To these words we say, Amen. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.